This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Last week we were looking at prayer, amen, and then we stopped halfway. But we're going to continue today, and we're going to take it from reasons for praying together. We looked at it last week and we said that's one of the most intimate area for a married couple, prayer. And we looked at prayer as being the cement or the mortar when you put all the bricks together, and then prayer cements everything. Praying together among couples is very powerful. Amen. It is very powerful. It's actually one of the things that really brings intimacy into your relationship. It brings a deeper intimacy into your relationship. And in Matthew 18:20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them." So I believe that when we are praying, Matthew 18:20, when we are praying as a couple, the presence of God is there. Jesus is there with us. Amen. He says a threefold cord cannot easily be broken. Who's the third person? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God Almighty. So it is very important for us as couples, married couples, to pray together.
Okay. So the first reason for us to pray together is that we have an intimate prayer partner in our spouse. But the second thing is also that we have the power of agreement. Okay. The second thing is that we have power of agreement. And in that same Matthew 18, verse 19. "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." So we see that when we pray together like that, as a couple, we have the power of agreement. And agreeing with God's will brings it to pass on the face of the earth. When we come into agreement concerning the will of God or concerning the word of God, automatically the word tells us that it is brought to pass on the face of the earth. So that's a second reason for praying together.
And the third reason is power in spiritual warfare. When we pray together, the power in spiritual warfare increases exponentially. And I tell you the truth, the word exponentially, I've always struggled to really put it together. But what he's saying is that in Leviticus 26, verse 8, is that five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying that when you pray together, there is an increase that in your in the spiritual power that you have, which is not a multiplication. It increases. One puts 1,000 and two puts 10,000 to flight. You understand? So, and I've always struggled to explain it, but the power that comes therein is a lot stronger than if one person was praying. Amen. So now we come into a place where you're praying for your children. On your own, you put 1,000 to flight. But if we pray together, we're actually putting 10,000 to flight. So you can see the increase in the victory is not a multiplication. It accelerates. Amen.
Okay. The fourth reason for praying together is that through our authority in Jesus, we are able to tear down strongholds and break satanic holds. And that's not to say that we can't do that on our own individually. Yes, we can. But when we pray together, you know, there's, like Pastor is saying, there's even a greater dimension of power that is released. And because of that, we're able to pull down strongholds and break satanic holds. You know, we're able, in short, to achieve much more together than we will be able to achieve on our own. So that's another reason. That's another good reason for praying together. If we look at 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5.
It's for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay.
When he talks about the weapons of our warfare, one of the weapons of our warfare is prayer. Okay, and when we pray together, like we said, we're able to break down strongholds and bring satanic holds down. So that's another reason.
The other reason, which is the last reason so far here, is we need to patrol our edge together. Sometimes it's one person that is just praying and patrolling the edge. But when you have two people praying together, the husband and the wife praying together, it's a kind of a reinforcement. You're building a kind of, there is something they talk about, which is like, you remember when during the, a bull? Yes, but you remember when the Scud missile, then you had the Patriots. The Patriot was there to stop a defense shield. When the two of you are praying together, you're building a powerful shield around your home. Mm. And you can never imagine the kind of shield you're releasing when you're praying together. You see, what the enemy does not want us to do, is to pray together. Mm. Because he knows that when we pray together, it's a lot more powerful than when we pray on our own. Mm. And when you look at it today, you find out that some of the ministers of God are now beginning to bring their wives onto their programs. Because they're now understanding what it means to have their spouses as part of the team. A person like Benny Hinn had to say that God spoke to him about it when he used to bring your wife in. Begin to pray together. Begin to invite together with your wife. The enemy does not want us to do it as a couple, but that's where the power is. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In Job 1 verse 10, it says, "Have you not made," and this is talking about Job, "have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." So when we pray together, we are building an edge. Like there was that edge around about Job and his whole household. When we pray together as a couple, what we are doing is, you know, building an edge. We're patrolling our edge. We're looking after the edge of God that God has put around us. Okay? And it's much, much effective when we pray together, like Pastor was sharing.
And what it does, really, it's my wife can send something in the spirit, and she will speak it to me, and then we'll pray together. I'll send something, I'll tell her, and we'll pray together. Mm. Because we are praying in agreement. Mm.
Okay. Now we're going to look at guidelines for praying together. Like, because you might say, okay, yes, it's okay to stay pray together, but where do we start from? Especially if it's a couple that have not really
done it
before, or they're not used to it, or they've done it before and it's not worked out and they've given up. Because sometimes couples give up because it doesn't seem to be working, you know, and they just get on with their individual prayer lives. So what are the guidelines for praying together?
It is an intimate time between a couple and God. So there should not be any criticizing of each other's prayer or discussing of scriptural validity. If this happens, it might lead to one party not wanting to pray out loud or even pray at all with their spouse. So let me explain what it is. When my wife and myself first started praying, my wife used to think that I pray too much in tongues. And I just love praying in tongues. And my wife loves to pray in our understanding. So what used to happen is like, "Darling, why are you praying in tongues? Let's pray together in our understanding." And I love to sing. I can sing all through the prayer. And my wife loves to pray. And so what used to happen is I'm singing. My wife wants to pray. I want to sing. I want to speak in tongues. My wife wants to pray in our understanding. So what happens is during the prayer time, you're both not flowing. Because you're criticizing each other in your heart. Mm. Amen. And you will never break through in that kind of a situation. Mm. We had to come to a point, especially when we began to sit down and ask each other what we really enjoyed during praying together. And we were able to speak to each other and say, look, I love to worship. I love to just pray. And we gradually brought that together. And we're able to know when to stop and when to move on. So sometimes my wife will tap me and I'll know it's time for her to pray. We began to touch each other so that we can tell each other when to move on to the next. And especially when you look at today, when you have a lot of things to do, you can't go on like in those days when we used to go on. But it's not a place for criticism. It's not a place to say, oh, I know the scripture more than you do. It's a place where the two of you come together and pray to God. Amen.
And also what helps is when you're being led by the Spirit of God, I think, you know, in early days, like you said, you know, there was a tendency to want to criticize the way each other prayed or each other flowed. But after a while, when you begin to learn to just let the Holy Spirit take over, you know, I know you were saying that sometimes we have to tap, but most of the time now, it just flows. Somebody finishes and the other, you know, starts praying and the other takes over, and you just let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you, so that it's not a case of, okay, now stop, it's my time to pray. You know, you've prayed enough, let me pray as well. It's not like that. It's about letting the Holy Spirit
guide us. Because we're not praying as one. We're not praying as individuals anymore. Okay?
Yeah. So that's really, really important, because, you know, when people are criticized for the way they pray, you know, the worst thing you want to do is to shut somebody up where they never pray. You know, what's the point of a husband and wife kneeling down together and only one person prays, the other doesn't pray, because they've been shut up, you know, because of the criticism that has come to them.
And what used to happen sometimes is that you think because you are the man, and so you're the spiritual head, so you should do all the prayer, and the woman just keep quiet. No, it doesn't work that way. The two of you have to pray, and as you are led by the Holy Spirit, you begin to see the blending. Of prayer, the scriptures coming in, and that kind of a thing. Initially,
number two.
I thought you just done that. Be patient and be led by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Okay, number two is be patient with one another and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. Okay, be patient. I think that's one of the areas where married couples struggle in praying together, is not being patient with one another. Okay, we need to be patient with one another. Nobody should try to think that, oh, I know more than you do. Before God, which is children. Okay. Initially, don't be too concerned about how much time you spend praying, only that you do it together. We love going on holidays, my wife and myself, because when we're on holidays, we have nothing else to do. We just spend time praying together. And we can spend time, long time, just praying together. But when we're back in England and you have to go to work and that kind of thing, you find out that what happens is you're praying quickly just to get out. But when we have the time, we pray for a long time. But what we're saying here is, don't be too concerned about how long you spend praying, only that you do it together. It is important that you do it together. It only means to hold hands and say, Father, we just thank you for today. And we just pray that as we go, cover our house, we cover our children. And then you keep talking to each other. You keep talking to each other, and so you will know what to pray about.
Okay, the fourth one is together follow Paul's example for prayer, found in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15. It says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing also with the understanding. But I'm going to concentrate on where it says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. Okay. And basically what we are saying here is that there's a time to pray in the Spirit, that is pray in tongues, and there's a time to pray in our native language, which is to pray in the understanding. So there's room for both. Okay, and we need to practice both. We need to follow, you know, Paul's example, even in our praying together as couples.
The other thing is to enter into his presence with praise and worship. Okay, it's very powerful, especially when you as a couple are praising God together. And we've seen miracles happen whilst we're praising God and worshiping God together before we even go. I've seen my mom come in to join us whilst we're praying together, and she's been touched by the power of God. I've seen my mother-in-law come in. The same thing has happened. It is very important that you enter His presence with praise and worship. Okay, and you see, as your own individual prayer life is strengthened, it makes it easier when you come together to pray together. Okay, and so it's very important. Psalm 100 talks about entering His presence with thanks, entering His courts with thanksgiving and praise. And so it is very important that when we go in as a couple, to learn to praise and worship God.
Okay, the sixth one, use Philippians 4 verse 6, and I'm going to read that very quickly. Philippians 4 verse 6, use that as a guide when praying in your understanding. And what does it say? It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what we're being encouraged to do is that when we pray as couples, we need to use this as a guide when we're praying. Do this, and how do we do this? We do this by thanking God for what He has provided and how He has cared for us, and then we present to Him our needs and our desires. Okay.
When praying together, married couples, this is the seventh one, should limit prayers to things which concern their one flesh relationship, things of mutual concern. Sometimes one person wants to pray something that is completely different from what you brought in there. But there has got to be a mutual agreement about that. I'll give you a good example. My wife prays a lot for tear funds. She has this...
Used
to pray for tear funds. And if that's what she loves doing, when we come to the prayer time together, because it's not a mutual interest for both of us, that shouldn't come into that prayer time. That should be a personal. Doesn't make sense. It should be a personal one. If the two of you have gotten to a point where you take it on as a mutual interest, it can come into your prayer time. The reason why we're saying it shouldn't come in, because if the other person, your spouse, does not bear witness with it that that's what he wants to pray for, okay, it will inhibit. It will inhibit your prayer time together. Sorry, I forgot to switch off my phone. It will inhibit your prayer praying together. Okay? So it is very essential, even when you're starting, to start with praying for your home, praying for your children. You understand? Praying and building an edge around your home. And as you progress, you begin to find out that it begins to get better. And the Lord can begin to open up the scope of your prayer, you understand, so that you can pray for different things together. But when you start, just be sure that it has to be something of mutual interest to both of you that concerns your home. Okay.
Okay. And then number eight, another guideline is to pray the word. Pray the word. That is so important. 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. And that says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Okay. So it's really important that we pray God's word. When we pray God's word, we know that we are praying God's will, and it keeps our own opinions out of the prayer. Okay, you know, sometimes you want to bring your opinions into the prayer. You know, for example, you know, you might want to maybe, you know, there's something really burning in your heart, or maybe there's an issue that, you know, you want God to deal with in your spouse and that kind of thing. Sometimes some couples feel that that's the time. The praying together time is the time to bring that up. But you see, when we pray God's word, there will not be any chance of bringing our own opinions and bringing our own dissatisfaction into the prayer time. So it's really important that we pray God's word.
So you can be praying and you're praying together. And then you go, oh God, please help my wife to be patient. Mm-hmm. Because, but that's not the place for you. You understand?
Exactly. No.
It has to be God's word.
That's definitely not the place. If you say, Lord, change him. Lord, you know, you can do that in your individual prayer time, but not in the, you know, not in the praying together time. You know, it's important, like we said, to pray God's word. The word of God tells us that God's word shall not return to him void. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So when we pray God's word, we know that something is going to happen. So a good place to pray God's word is when we pray together as couples.
And Isaiah says that we should put him in remembrance. Mm. We should always put God in remembrance. Amen. Number 9, pray in the spirit. That means tongues. When we pray together in the spirit, we are both submitting our most unruly member, our tongue, to the direction of the Holy Spirit. According to the book of James, which talks about the tongue. This will edify and improve the marriage. The one flesh life, it knits us together as one. It will give rise to more rapid spiritual growth. It can also improve communication and sexual intimacy. I know that some of you will be, but there are people, I've not done any research into it, I don't know, but there are people that say that when making love, you can pray in tongues, that it really helps. Okay, but I don't know how true it is, but that's what that's what they have said. But really, when you pray in tongues, it really helps you to submit your will to the will of God. Mm-hmm. You understand? And that's why you find out that sometimes, yeah.
I think that may be some real truth in that. Mm-hmm. Because one critical problem that most men will have is wandering minds and fantasizing.
Yes.
Amen.
When you pray in tongues, really, you find out that sometimes when we come here, I say, let's pray in tongues for a while. And you find out that what it does, it brings your mind back onto God. Mm. I'm trying to remember who said that he starts praying in the flesh and ends up praying in the spirit. Mm. He ends up praying in the spirit. Because, you see, when you begin to pray in tongues, what you're doing, you're submitting your body, your tongue, your spirit to the Lord. Mm. And that's why Jude says, building ourselves up in our most holy faith by praying in the spirit. You understand? You're building yourself up. Mm. So as a couple, when you begin to pray together in the spirit, what you're doing, you're blending together. And then by the time you begin to pray, in your understanding, you've already hit heaven. Mm. Amen. Because the Bible says when we pray in tongues, we speak mystery to God. Okay. And so during that period, you're building a bond together in the spiritual realm. Mm. Amen.
And what this does is that it enhances, when we pray together in the spirit, it enhances all the three areas of couples' lives together. That is the spirit, the soul, and the body. It enhances every area. That's why it enhances the communication, the sexual intimacy, and even, you know, our spiritual lives as well.
Okay, married couples must give time for each other to pray and not monopolize the whole prayer time. You know, I said it earlier, sometimes one person feel they pray more, so they will go on and on. It does happen to both of us sometimes. Sometimes on some days I want to pray longer, and then on some days Falake wants to pray longer than I. But we need to be able to be led by the Spirit so that we can know when to come in. When it's like when the intercessors come in and they start praying here. What happens is one person feels it's time to hand over to the other person, and then they move on, and then another person. It's the same thing with when you're praying together as a couple. Know when to allow the other person to come in. Mm. Amen. Married couples should make appointment daily with Jesus and keep it diligently by praying together. You see, the enemy hates for couples to pray together and will use every trick and means to stop us from doing it. Married couples must not just talk about praying. They must do it. Mm. Amen. Mm. They must do it. I think for like myself, sometimes we are so bogged down and it's like you want to rush out of the house. And Falake has an act of reminding me, darling, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. And then we hold hands together and pray. And that's why I say when we're on holidays, we love it so much because it just comes so easily. We just keep praying on and on. And I just want to encourage you. Some of you might be listening to it now and you say, I'm not married yet. But I'm not married. I want to encourage you that this teaching is not just for married couples. Okay? Because you will be counseling some people one day. You come across people that will need this counseling. And some of you might be getting married soon, okay? And you need, amen, and you need this to be able to help you in your marriage. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-ncc.org. And remember, God loves you.